appreciate that song, ladies. And there truly is no need to doubt him now. Praise God. He's brought us this far. And I believe he'll just carry us on. Amen. And so, praise God. All right. I'm going to be preaching tonight on the minister of the gospel, or the servant of the gospel, out of Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. We preached a few different messages, maybe two or three messages. It's kind of hard to remember now. On the mystery of the gospel. And what is the mystery of the gospel? A lot of mysteries of the gospel. The one we've been dealing with lately, basically the mystery of the church, though. The fact that the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile be broke down, and how God is going to make one body, called out assembly, a holy nation, Peter called them, a peculiar people. And that is one of the mysteries of the gospel, that that there will be no Jew, no Gentile. As a matter of fact, he even said at one point, not even male or female, just one in Christ. And so that's the mystery of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to see the deal with the minister of the gospel, the servant of the gospel. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll look there in verse number 7, I'll ask you to stand. Tonight, we'll just read some verses and then give you the message tonight concerning the minister of the gospel. So Ephesians chapter 3, and if you'll look in verse number 7, he says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace," or "the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." I'm going to end off reading there, and again, we're going to preach the first part of this message dealing with the minister of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a copy of the word of God. Lord, I thank you for the power of the word of God, Lord, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is quick and powerful, Lord, that it does pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow. Lord, as the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Lord, I thank you that it shows us who we really are. Lord, I thank you that it points us towards Christ and help us to know him. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we have a church to come to in these days, or we can assemble together. And Father, for the good services that you gave us this morning, the good preaching that we've heard, and Lord, the good singing that's been done, the giving that's been done, the praying that's been done, Lord, the good fellowship. Lord, I just thank you for all that's been done, Lord, today so far. And Father, I pray that tonight, as we've come to this time of preaching, that you would open our hearts and our minds, or we know that the natural man does not receive these things. They are spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that you would draw us close to you. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here. And Father, I pray that you would do something in our heart tonight, Lord, that will change our lives. Lord, help us not to leave here the same as we came. Lord, drawn closer to you. Encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight. And Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be here tonight, Lord, that you would show them their lost condition. Lord, show them the hell they're going to, the judgment they're under, the condemnation they're under. They might cry out to a Savior before it's too late. But Lord, I pray that you would get all the honor, all the glory. May Jesus be magnified in everything that's done. And we'll give him the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. It's funny how words seem to change through the years as far as the meaning and, I guess, the connotation that words have. And you think about that word minister of the gospel. And I've almost got to the point where I don't really necessarily even like using that word because of the weird usage that it has now. Like if I'm out in public now and people find out that, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher or something, they say, oh, you're a minister. And that just conjures up like ideas of like Catholic priests and stuff like that in my mind anyways. And so I almost want to say, well, no, I'm a preacher. You know, I'm a pastor, you know. And that's really why we don't use the word bishop much anymore, because of how that word, there's nothing wrong with the word, but it's the way man has taken it and kind of perverted it. If you know somebody who refers to themselves as a bishop, they probably also think they're a modern apostle too, probably. And so we don't call each other, you know, men bishops anymore. We're pastors, you know. And just because of the way the words are, the kind of the definitions kind of change through the years. But the word minister really literally means a servant. That's what a minister is. And I looked up the meaning, I guess, just to get a basic definition of the word minister. And again, it's a servant. It literally means it has the idea of someone to run on errands, like an errand boy, or an attendant, or a waiter, like someone who waits tables, like at a table, or other menial duties. It's not really, see, again, the modern world's taken that word minister and has made it someone who's like a lord, you know, and like kind of a high, mighty, like dignified title, when really, biblically speaking, a minister is somebody who is very low and very base. It is someone who is a servant. And that's what Paul is saying whenever he says, I am a minister of the gospel. I am a servant of the gospel. I am simply somebody to run errands for the gospel's sake. Simply somebody just to do the simple things, the little things. Whatever is called on me to do, that is what I am to do. Can I just say tonight that that is what we all are. We are all ministers of the gospel. We are simple errand boys, errand girls, table waiters, menial task people, simply just taking commands and doing what God wants us to do. You know, man's pride likes to make himself out to be more than what he is. Matter of fact, the same Paul that wrote this talked about how a man ought to think more highly of himself than what he really is, you know. But we have the tendency to do that. I'm a minister. When the truth is, we're just simple errand people, and we all, those of us that are saved, should be and ought to be ministers, servants to the gospel. That is, the gospel ought to be our life. This thing is our life. You realize that the church coming to the building on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that has turned into something people do. I go to church. I put in my time at church. And if they're real faithful, if they're real spiritual, they go to Sunday school too. You know, oh, I go to Sunday school and I'm church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they'll tell you, I'm at church every time the doors are open. But you catch them out in public somewhere and you couldn't tell any difference in them and the rest of the world around them. You wanna know why? Because church is what they do, it is not who they are. The gospel is something they do, it is not who they are. They aren't a real minister of the gospel. They aren't a servant to the gospel. They aren't a slave to the gospel as Paul was. It's just something that they do. I mean, they put in the time and they'll you know, go do whatever the church does and just kind of put the time. But the rest of their life, they're back to the world doing the things that the world does and just what's in their heart to do, you know. But the fact is, we are to be ministers, servants, errand boys, errand girls to the gospel, slaves to the gospel. Amen? And so I believe in this passage here, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, begins to kind of outline some of the areas of his ministry, and we see some of the different facets of being a gospel servant. Who and what a gospel servant is. Who and what a gospel servant does. Amen? And so we that are saved are all servants to the gospel. And by the way, you have ministries. You and me both, we all have ministries. They're not the same ministries, but we all have ministries. We all have areas that God has called us and placed us to serve in. We all have abilities to serve with. Some are faithful to the ministries God has given them, and some are unfaithful to the ministries God's given them. Amen? Some churches flourish because the people that God has added to that church are faithful to their ministries, and some churches lack and do without because some people in those churches are unfaithful to the ministries God's put them in. Yeah, oh yeah, the church definitely lacks whenever you and me are not faithful to the ministries God's given us. Amen. Now, a lot of the attention is put on the people that are before all of us all the time. If the preacher doesn't study and walk with God like he should, it's evident before the people that he's unfaithful to his ministry, giving himself wholly to the ministry. If the Sunday school teacher doesn't study like he or she stood and walk like he or she stood, that way they are not able to teach in a way that pleases God. It's evident that they're being unfaithful to their ministry. You know, those that are before us. But you know, we all, whether it's evident to those around us or not, we all have ministries that we are either faithful to or unfaithful to. And so these things, though they refer to the Apostle Paul, and we don't have apostles in here. There's nobody in here tonight that's an apostle. And though it refers to an apostle, it also applies to all of us in all of our ministries because we are all ministers of the gospel. So let's look at a few of these things. First of all, in verse number 7, referring to the minister, the servant of the gospel, we say placement in the ministry. Verse number 7, he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. We see placement in the ministry. Paul is saying he did not make himself a minister. He said, I didn't call myself, I didn't decide I wanted to be a minister. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. So Paul's ministry was that to the Gentiles, right? He's the apostle to the Gentiles. We know that we've been dealing with that a lot lately. And so we understand, hopefully by now, that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles as a result of God placing him in the ministry. He did not do that himself. God did that. Some people are trying to do things that they have put themselves into that God did not put them into. It requires placement by God into the ministry. Amen? But I want you to know that God has got a placement for you. He's got a place for you and a position for you. That's why whenever we leave church on Sunday morning, a lot of preachers will talk about being back Sunday night and say, everybody be in your places. Because whenever we are not in our places, the church goes without. And the church lacks. Amen. And by the way, we've all got many different ministries and many different placements. You know, the ministry and the ability to give, like to missionaries and to tithe and to give the work of God and all those things, financially, that's a ministry of yours and of mine. We're all either being faithful to that ministry or being unfaithful to that ministry. The ministry of leading the singing like Brother Ernest does and playing the piano or playing the organ like Sister Sherry does and teaching Sunday school classes. Those are all ministries. Amen. Those are our places. And we've got all kinds of different ones. Running the sound and cleaning the building and doing all the things that everybody does around here. These are ministries and it requires placement for these ministries. Amen. They are places where God has placed you. And so Paul didn't call himself. God placed him in these things. And so Paul, by the way, he views this placement in the ministry. He views it as that of grace and that of a gift. That's what he said, the gift of grace. In other words, it's a gift. It's God's grace working in me that he's letting me do what I'm doing. It's, listen, God. We've gotten the idea, some of us, some people have gotten the idea that God couldn't get along without some of us. Amen? Listen, God ran this thing fine long time before me and you ever got here. Long time forever was here. Long time before you ever here. God was running this thing just fine and he's not going to wring his hands when it's all said and done. And if something happens to us, he's not going to wring his hands and say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Listen, brethren, it is the grace of God and the mercy of God. It is a gift that we get to serve the King. Amen. It is a gift that we get to do for God what we do. It is a gift that we get to preach the gospel. It is a gift that we get to pray. It's a gift that we've got a Bible. It's a gift that we got the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that we got a church. It's a gift that we get to hear preaching. It is a gift, all the things that you and me have. Amen. And without us, this thing would run just fine. Amen. God would be all right if you and me weren't here and involved in this thing. We have got gifts given to us. Our placement is a gift. It is an honor. It is a privilege. Amen? And thank God for it. Amen? Listen, going out and handing out a gospel tract is a gift. Not that God's given that lost person, but that He's given to you. Giving a lost person, it's not just a gift of the gospel to them. It's a gift to you that you've got the ability to give them a gospel tract. That you've got the ability to witness to somebody and invite them to church. That you've got the ability to go out on the street and hold a scripture sign for an hour. That you've got the ability to go down to the jail and try to witness and be a blessing to some lost men that have wrecked their lives. It is God's gift to us. Amen. Paul said, man, I didn't do this myself. God placed me here, and it's a gift from Him by His marvelous grace that I'm able to be an apostle and be in the ministry. And by the way, whether it's there's no big I's or little U's, we're all in this together, and the placement that God has given you, the place that God has put you, is as much a gift as it is the man that pastors a big church or the missionary in the foreign field or whatever. It is as much a gift to you as it is to them. It is a gift that we get to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because see, we've all got a placement in the body. All of us. Look in 1 Corinthians 12. Look in verse number 1. We're going to read several verses here. So listen closely. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We all do different things, but it's for and through the same Spirit. The same Spirit enables us to do all the different things that we do. Amen? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another in the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Now hold on just a second. Look up here. A lot of these gifts we don't have anymore. You understand that? A lot of these are still not around now. They're still in operation now, but the application still remains that not all of us are gifted the same. Not everybody can preach a message and it be understood by everybody. I've heard some men that call themselves preachers and even pastors that preach messages, and whenever they're done, I think, what are they talking about? And if you don't believe me, sit under somebody who's trying to do something that's not within their gift, and you'll know what I'm saying. Not everybody can teach a class and it be understood and made simple and all those things. Not everybody can lead singing. Not everybody can play a piano. I can't play a piano. Not everybody can run sound. Not everybody can clean buildings. Not everybody can do the same things, but by the grace of God, through the same Spirit, and for the same Lord, we all can do something. We can't do the same thing, but you can do something. Amen? Verse 12, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole hearing, whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the member, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We don't have the same thing to do, but we've all got something to do. We are all ministers of the gospel, servants to the gospel. So what you and I need to do is find out what our placement is and get in that place and do what God has got us doing in that place. Amen? And it might not be just one specific place. It might be multiple places. But if you want something to do, ask God what you can do and He'll give you something to do. Amen? So there is placement in the ministry. We've all seen those people that wanted to serve God. We've all seen those young men who said they were called to preach and said, God's working my life, says He wants me to be a preacher. And sometimes we see those young men, we've all seen them. We say, boy, I don't know if he'll ever make a preacher. But little by little, day after day, week after week, God makes a man. And God takes that man and places him. And little by little, God makes him the man that He wants him to be. We've all seen those young ladies that want to do something for God. And we think, well, boy, I don't know if she'll ever make anything for God. But little by little, she's faithful to her placement and faithful to what God's asked her to do. Just a little errand girl, just a little errand boy, just open and willing to what God has me to do. And little by little, God makes a man, God makes a woman. And if they'll stay in their place, God will use them as a minister for the gospel. There's placement in the ministry. Verse 7, there's power for the ministry. Back in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Listen to me. The callings of God come with the enablings of God. Where God places us, God will empower us. What God calls us to do, He'll make a way for us to do it. Amen? I've talked to people and try to help them and counsel them, tell them what the Bible says about some situation or some circumstance in life. And when they've got a million and one excuses why they can't do God's will, you know what their problem is? Their problem is unbelief. Unbelief. Because the devil and the flesh will always give you a million and one excuses why you can't do what this Bible says do. But listen to me, what God has called us to do, He will enable us to do. 100% of the time, if we will be faithful to God and His Word and just make up our mind that I'm going to do what this Bible says, God will always make a way. Always. There is power for the ministry. Power. By the way, God's also got to be in what we're doing too. We can't say we're going to do something great for God, but then not go about it His way. Because he's not going to enable something that's not his way. Amen? You and me, we're not going to make our kids turn out right if we're not doing it God's way. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because God's not going to be in what we're doing if we're not doing it his way. Amen? We've got to do things his way. Listen, as a church, God's not going to get in this thing, us doing it our way and not his way. We need enablement. We need empowerment. And God has got to be in what we're doing. So we can turn to everything the world has to offer to get folks in. But if God's not in it and it's not being done God's way, it'll never bring about any eternal results. Amen. God's got to be in what we're doing. That's why I don't preach from anything other than the King James Bible. Because I want God to empower it. I want God to enable it. Hey, listen, it might yield fleshly results doing other stuff. Listen, I can get NIV or get some other Bible, or we can bring in a praise team, or we can bring in smoke and mirrors and all that stuff and entertain everybody and see results in the flesh. But if you and me, if we want to see eternal results in what our life, in what's produced by our life or what's produced by our church and our ministry or what we're doing for God as a family or as a Christian, if we want to see eternal results, eternal value, God's got to be in it. God's got to breathe on it. God's got to enable us and empower us. And to get that, we've got to do it God's way. What if Paul had gone off doing whatever he wanted to do? What if he'd have gone to the churches he wanted to go to? What about all the times when he was on missionary journeys and the Spirit of God constrained him? Wouldn't let him go where he wanted to go? What about when the Macedonian call came, if he hadn't gone? What if he'd have gone where he wanted to go instead? I don't believe God would have been in what he was doing. God's only in what he's told us to do, not in what we want to do. Amen. And if we want to turn out for God, we've got to have power for the ministry. But let me encourage you, brethren, if you're doing what God wants you to do, and if you're faithful to things of God and faithful to the Word of God, it might look weak and feeble in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the flesh, but some way, somehow, somewhere down the road, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, or next month, or even next year, but somewhere down the road, that power's going to come, and that fire is going to fall, and God is going to enable what you're doing, and He's going to bring it all to pass. And what He says He will do, He will do. And He will empower what we are doing in the gospel if we're a gospel minister. Amen. So to serve God effectively, we must have His power upon us to enable us. That's why I want to say, stay so close to this Bible, as close to this Bible as I can, as a Christian, as a father, as a husband, as a pastor. I want to stay as close to this Bible as I can because I want God to enable and empower what I'm doing. I'm not looking for worldly results. What does it matter if we have heaped up results worldly? It doesn't amount to anything, man. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble when we stand before God. That's just like those in the that after the millennial reign, whenever God pulls all those souls out of hell and they stand before God and they say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works." Sounds like they had a lot of worldly results, doesn't it? Sounds like everybody knew who they were. Sounds like everybody knew that ministry. Sounds like everybody knew what was going on. Sounds like they had big buildings and big bank accounts and big bus ministries. All kinds of wonderful things going on in the name of Christ. But God didn't accept it. Somewhere along the way, they missed something, buddy. They missed something. Because we can't get God's enabling. We can't receive God's power as ministers of the gospel without doing things His way. We've got to have His power. We've got to have the effectual working of His power. So there's power for the minister. Then, verse 8, there is pridelessness in the ministry. And I don't think pridelessness is even a word, but there it is. Pridelessness, the absence of pride. Verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." Some folks feel that God couldn't get along without them, but Paul never did. Paul knew the ministry would be fine without him. Paul knew that he was unworthy to be a minister. Paul knew that he didn't deserve to be doing what he was doing. He saw himself unworthy of his calling. Here in this passage, he's the least of all saints, what he referred to himself. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he was the least of the apostles. And in that same verse, he said he was not meet to be called an apostle. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. 1 Timothy 1:15, he was the chief of all sinners. This is the faithful Savior saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the worst of all of them. I'm the least of all the apostles, not even worthy to be an apostle. I'm the least of all saints, not even worthy to be in a saint. Boy, it sounds like he had very, very little, if any, pride in his ministry. See, it's His grace. It's God's grace and His mercy that has got us here. Getting back to that placement. See, it's His grace. It's an honor to serve God. I think we need to get back to believing that. I think we need to get back to believing that it is God's grace and His mercy that allows us to do what we're doing. It's His grace and His mercy that allows us to serve Him. It's His grace and His mercy that allows us to be a minister of the gospel. Amen. It's a blessing and it's an honor and it's a privilege to serve the Lord. We need to get back to believing that. See, whenever I was thinking about this morning, whenever Brother Cooley was preaching, going through Psalm chapter 22, all that Christ went through on the cross, drinking down that bitter cup and all that beating He took and all those things He said concerning Himself. Whenever you look at all that, whenever you look at what Christ went through on the cross, you ought to be seeing yourself. You ought to be seeing what you deserved, what you should have been experiencing, what you should be going through. Whenever Jesus called on God and said, you know, why are you so far from me that you will not help me? That ought to be you and me tonight. We ought to be not within 10 million miles of God, and yet He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit, those of us that are saved. Whenever Jesus said, I am a worm, I am nobody, that's you and me, Jack. That's us. We are nobody. We are nothing. We are big zeros, man. Big zeros. And yet He has saved us and He has washed us and He's cleansed us and He's put us in the church, put us in this body, made us a part, a partaker of this great mystery that He had planned before the foundation of the world were laid. And it is an honor and a privilege that we get to serve Him. Amen. It's a privilege, man. We are nobody. This thing will go on fine without us. I tell you what, it ought to stir us whenever we get to serve the Lord. It ought to stir us when we get to serve the Lord. It ought to stir us when we get to go and assemble with God's people. When we get to read our Bible. When we get to pray. You know, a lot of times we say, I got to do that. No, I can't go to the river. I got to go to church. I'm sorry, I can't work on Sunday. I got to go to church. I got to. What about I get to? I get to, I get to, I get to. It ought to stir us up whenever we get to serve the great I am. And whenever it doesn't stir us, we ought to repent when it doesn't. Amen? The problem's not with God, the problem's with us. We view ourselves too highly than we ought to. We view the things that we've got going in our life more important than we ought to. So then the work of God becomes something that we've got to do because all this other stuff is so important. When the things of the world are so important to you and me, then the work of God and the ministry of the gospel becomes something we've got to do. But whenever we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal, we start realizing and viewing this world the way we ought to view it. We realize that money is fleeting and things are fleeting. Material things are fleeting and this economy is fleeting and all the politicians are fleeting. All these things are temporal and fleeting things, and serving God is something that we get to do. Amen. Amen. But our priorities are all mixed up. We view this world too highly and the things going on in our life too highly to where we become ministers and servants to the things of the world
Therefore, the gospel is something that we've got to do. Well, I got it because I'm saved. I got to do it because I love Jesus. Yeah, it sounds like you really love Him. I got to do it because I love Him, you know. Listen, whenever our eye is right and our vision is right and our focus is right and our priorities are right, serving the Lord, being a minister, a servant, a slave to the gospel won't be something we've got to do. It'll be something we get to do. Amen? Because by the way, God can take every bit of it from us before the night's over. Amen? And if you don't believe me, look at what's going on in California right now, where they ain't had church in 6 months. If you don't believe me, look what's been going on in North Korea for many, many years, and China for many years, where missionaries have to go in undercover just to smuggle Bibles in. Y'all ever seen those videos and those clips where missionaries have smuggled in Bibles and they got them in suitcases and they lay those suitcases out and they bring them into those underground churches? Because those people, they will lose their lives. If they get caught doing what you're doing tonight, they will lose everything. Yet they do it anyways, they go anyways, because they realize it's something they get to do, not something they have to do. Here we are in America with nice heated buildings, with padded pews to sit on, and we can't hardly be faithful to anything around here, but over there, they'll lose everything if they get caught serving Jesus, yet they go anyways because they know they get to. And those missionaries, they'll bring in those Bibles, they'll smuggle in those Bibles, filled in those suitcases, and if you've ever seen those clips, well, they'll lay them out, open those things up, and young and old, buddy, they swarm those suitcases trying to get those Bibles. Never held a Bible in their hand in their life, risking their life to hold on to a Bible, to read a Bible, and they'll pick up those Bibles and they'll kiss those Bibles and they'll hug those Bibles because they've never had what you've got tonight. You know what the difference is? They realize it's the grace of God and the mercy of God that they've got what they've got. We've been blessed up one side and down the other. We are spoiled to death on the prosperity of this country to where we forget that God does not owe us anything. He doesn't owe us anything, buddy. Amen. And by the way, if the economy and the dollar hits the tank tomorrow, if Joe Biden does win the election and he takes the country down the drain, we're getting exactly what we deserve. Getting exactly what we deserved a long time ago. It's the mercy of God that He hasn't dropped the hammer on us already. And by the way, I'm not talking about the American society. I'm talking about the American church, because judgment starts at the house of God. Amen. It is His grace. It is His mercy that we are able to do what we do. And we need pridelessness in what we're doing. We get so concerned with making sure somebody's patted me on the back, making sure somebody's noticed and realized something I've done, making sure I've been recognized for something that I've done and haven't done. Listen, it's an honor to get to do what we're doing. I mean, thank God for somebody that will shake your hand and say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank God for all of you that do the things that you're doing. But listen, at the end of the day, it is a privilege that we get to do what we're doing. David said he'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than being out there with the wicked. Amen? We need pridelessness. We don't deserve all that we've got. Pridelessness. And then last of all, very quickly, not only do we see placement in ministry, we see power in ministry, pridelessness in ministry, but we see purpose in ministry. Verse number 8, look what he says. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, this grace has been given to me for a purpose. This ministry has been given to me for a purpose. If you fast forward to 2020, I want you to know that God has saved you and given you the ministry that He's given you and given you the church that He's given you and placed you where He's placed you for a purpose. No, you're not an apostle. But He's still given you the ministry that He's given us for a purpose. God has got a purpose for us and a purpose for you. What is that purpose? To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Same purpose Paul had. No, we were not called in for the same way and the same specifics as Paul, but it's still the same purpose to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? That is the purpose. Now, he gives some reasons for his ministry here. He lists them. They're not all the reasons, but they're some of the very important reasons. First of all, there was a proclaiming purpose. Again, verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So his calling was a ministry to the Gentiles. He was the minister, the apostle of the Gentiles. And it involved proclaiming the gospel among the Gentiles. Those that were defiled. Amen. Those that were outside the promises. That's it. The outcasts spiritually. Those that were defiled. Those that were disadvantaged. Amen? Well, we've got the same purpose. It is the purpose for proclaiming. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got the same purpose. Preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ to those that are without, those that are defiled, and those that are disadvantaged. Amen? And by the way, there's still plenty of them out there. There's plenty of them out there. We are proclaiming the gospel to all the world, to every creature. That is the purpose for our ministry. If what we're doing, if what you and me are doing as individuals, if we evaluate our life, do that for a moment. Evaluate your life. Think about your life. Think about the job you work, the family you have, the things you do for fun. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with doing some things for fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun as long as fun doesn't have you. Think about the things that you do for fun. Think about the things you do in your spare time. Think about the way you use your time, the things you do. Think about your purpose. Think about what has your heart. The things you wake up thinking about, the things you go to bed thinking about, the things that are on your mind, the things that you sell yourself out to. Think about those things. Take inventory of your life. And if anywhere along the way you find that the end of that thing, something you're doing, the end of that, the means to that end, isn't the gospel, then you've missed it. No, I know we don't do everything we do directly to get the gospel out. I understand that. I understand whenever you go in, you punch the clock on your job, you're not directly preaching the gospel in that way. But I tell you this, you are being a witness on your job. You're going to be one way or the other. You've got a testimony one way or the other. It's either a good testimony or a bad testimony. I know you're not directly preaching the gospel whenever you're raising your children and raising your family, whenever you're ordering your home. I know you're not directly preaching the gospel, but one way or the other, you're putting the gospel into your children, or you're giving them a bad gospel. You're leading them to Christ or away from Christ. Us men, us husbands and fathers, we're the spiritual priests of our home. We're leading our family to the Lord, making our homes more spiritual or less spiritual. And by the way, you and me are going to give an account for that. Same for mothers with children. I'm saying everywhere we are, everything we're doing, one way or the other, God ought to be able to use it to be a minister of the gospel. You say, well, God can't use everything. Well, He used Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They got to praying and singing and preaching. Somebody got saved. Matter of fact, his whole family got saved. Birthed a church in that city. Why? Because they were being ministers of the gospel, doing what God told them to do. They wound up in jail because of it. And somebody got saved, God started a church. Listen, the Word of God is not bound. God's got a place for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. The problem with us is that a lot of times we're not fulfilling that purpose. Nothing wrong with God, the problem's with us. So there's a proclaiming purpose and then a persuading purpose. Verse 9, he says, to make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. See, God used the Apostle Paul to illuminate the men of that day concerning the mystery of this gospel that we know now. They knew nothing of the church at that time. But he used Paul to persuade them and illuminate them regarding that gospel privilege that would be given, extended to the Gentiles, so that they would be persuaded to the truth. See, this thing was in the mind of God the whole time. And men would either accept that truth or reject that truth. But he used the Apostle Paul to persuade them concerning that truth. Whether or not Paul was able to persuade them has no bearing on the truth. It would have still been true regardless. Paul's purpose was just to simply preach and persuade. In other words, preach doctrine. You know what that is? That's doctrine. The mystery of the gospel and the mystery of the church is right doctrine, is what it is. And God used Paul to persuade men concerning that. See, that thing had been hid from man since the beginning of man, since the beginning of creation. It had been hid from man, and God used him to persuade them concerning. So it speaks of teaching and persuading of correct, right doctrine. And by the way, that's what we're still doing today. Oh no, we don't have a big problem trying to persuade the Jews that the Gentiles are being brought in. We don't necessarily have that problem in our area, do we? When's the last time any of you talked to a Jew to try to persuade them that Gentiles are going to be brought into the covenant? You know, and they're all going to be one in Christ. When's the last time any of us talked about it? No, we're not doing that. But we are still preaching and trying to persuade men concerning the eternal riches of Christ, the great mystery of the church. Because, by the way, it is a mystery to them that are lost. It is a mystery to them. It is something that has not been revealed to them yet. Amen. So we're still trying to persuade men. That is one of the purposes of our ministry. As a minister of the gospel, as a servant to the gospel, on your job, with your family, with your friends, with those that you know and that you don't know, with those that you go to school with, all those that are around us, it is our service to the gospel to seek to persuade them of what is truth. Amen? That's what we're doing. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know where this world's going to get truth? I mean real truth. You know where it's going to come from? It ain't going to come from the White House. And it ain't going to come from the courthouse. And it ain't going to come from the schoolhouse. So may as well not even be upset whenever we don't get truth from any of them. And it ain't going to come from the mainstream media. It ain't going to come from the newspaper. And it sure ain't going to come from social media either. It might come from the internet, because you can't put anything on the internet that's not true. That's a joke. It's not going to come from this place. You know where it's going to come? It's going to come from the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And as servants to the gospel, one of our purposes is to stand for and persuade men concerning truth. Amen. That's why we will never shy away from tough doctrines. That's why we'll never shy away from maybe politically incorrect truth. That's why we'll never shy away from hot button topics. That's why we will always, Lord willing, by the grace of God, as long as I'm your pastor, we'll always preach the whole counsel, because the only place the world is going to get truth is going to be from the church. We got to stand for the truth. That's one of the purposes of the gospel, is persuading men concerning truth and doctrine. Last of all, the praise of the purpose. Verse 10, he said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Well, there's a lot that could be preached right there. I'm just going to kind of scratch the surface a little bit. But do you realize that Paul's work as an apostle made known not just to man, the mysteries concerning the church, it made known to the angels and heavenly beings the mystery concerning the church. Did you realize that? All these things that he was making known, angels in heaven didn't even know about this stuff yet. You realize that? See, angels are created beings and they're not all knowing. They're, in fact, they're very curious regarding some things. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. Let me show you something over here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse number 10. He said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So he's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament. They, in other words, they prophesied of things they really didn't even understand. They knew it was coming to you, but they were just saying what God told them to say, right? What God, they didn't know what was going to happen. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Look here. Which things the angels desire to look into. In other words, all this stuff that you and me are getting to experience right now, that we're actually getting to be a part of, the angels didn't even know about this stuff. They were curious about this stuff. They wanted to look into this stuff. They were interested in this stuff. And now you and me are a part of it. Now you and me are a part of it. You say, well, what's this got to do with the praise concerning the purpose? How is this praise? Because what do angels learn from the church? They're curious concerning the church, curious concerning the gospel. What do they learn? Well, they learn what Paul said. They learn of the manifold wisdom of God. That's what he said right there in the verse. They learn of the manifold wisdom of God. See, in creation, they already see and know and praise Him for His power. A lot of men don't even do that, but the angels do. In creation, His power, all that stuff. But now in the church, now that that has been revealed, now that that mystery has been revealed through Paul, they see and know and praise Him, not just for His power, but for His manifold wisdom. The manifold wisdom of God. In other words, no matter what, it's always going to come full circle. It's going to get back to praising God for what He has done in us. The praise, the purpose, then last of all, the plan for the purpose. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God had a plan, and Paul's ministry was going to be fulfilled according to that plan. And I want you to know that He has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. And the best thing you and me could ever do is find out what that plan is, find out what that purpose is, get in that plan, so that He can use us for His purpose. Somebody say, why are you preaching this? Because all of us can go a little further with God. All of us can get a little deeper with God. All of us can get further down the road of God. God's got more that He wants to do with you and with me. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And it's not, the plan, the purpose isn't just to stay where we're at. It's to go further. It's to get deeper. And so the question is, are you fulfilling your purpose in the ministry? Are you the minister of the gospel that God wants you to be? Are you the simple servant willing to do anything? The simple errand boy, the simple errand girl that just says, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. You know how people like the Cooley family and the King family wind up being anointed of God and blessed of God? To be sent halfway around the world to preach the gospel. What an honor, man. Listen to me. These goofball ball players that everybody holds on all these pedestals, you know what they are? Losers. They are big losers. Most of them have little more than a high school education, but the world falls at their feet wanting to know what they think about all the major issues of the world. They are losers. Bunch of heathens covered in tattoos, don't even got enough sense to get a haircut. And everybody wants to know what they think about what's going on in politics and the major problems of the world. I mean, it kills me, you know. You know what they are? They are losers. If you've got their posters on your room, on your wall at their house, you got to go home and tear it off tonight. Because they are not the heroes of God's people. You know who the heroes are? They're the Cooley families. And they're the King families. And they're the Launderville families. And they're the Gazaway families. And they're all the missionaries that we support that have given up their life and their livelihood and their home and all the comforts of America to go to a land far, far away from their family and far, far away from all the comforts of home to preach the glorious gospel and to reveal the mysteries of the gospel of Christ to people that do not know anything about the things of God. Those are the heroes. And you know what causes somebody like that to get to do the things that they're doing for the glory of God? You know what causes that? Some point along the way, they made up their mind they would just be a minister. No, not a minister. They would be just a minister. A servant. An errand boy. An errand girl. Someone just willing to do whatever God wants them to do. You know where it started at? It started out with them just going to their pastor, going to their home church and saying, look, I'm just going to do what needs to be done around here. I'm just going to get involved in everything going on around here. I'm going to pour my heart into it. I'm going to pour myself into it. I just want to serve the Lord. I'm just proud to be here. That's where it started. And then that thing moved to something else. Which moved to something else. But Brother Clue talked about it this morning. Started out just serving in his local church. Then he became a Sunday school teacher. Then he started teaching the Bible Institute. Then he got involved in the jail ministry, started preaching the jail ministry. I mean, from faith to faith. Ain't that right? Just being faithful in that which is least. Just being a servant, a minister in the gospel. What about you? You fulfilling your purpose in the gospel? Because I want you to know that's all that's going to matter at the end of this life. All that's going to matter is what kind of minister of the gospel you were, you and I were. It's not going to matter how much money we made. It's not our 401k ain't going to matter. And I mean, you know, all the things. I mean, I love deer hunting. Me and Brother Carl talk about deer hunting. I know Jeremy loves deer. I mean, there nothing wrong with deer hunting. And I'm after the big bucks this year. You better believe it. I'm after them. But let me tell you something. It ain't going to matter when we stand before God how big a deer I kill. It ain't going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is what kind of minister of the gospel me and you are. That's all that's going to matter. Let's stand and pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with the message tonight. Pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to be the ministers, the servants, the slaves of the gospel that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to sell out and serve you with a whole heart. Lord, I pray that you'll give us placement and, Lord, give us power and, Lord, I pray that you'll give us purpose. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be in these days. Lord, knowing that you want so desperately want to use us. Lord, you want to bless us. Lord, you want to empower us. Lord, as Brother Ernest says many times, you want to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Lord, you want to use us more than we want to be used many times. Lord, I pray that you just make it very real to us, Lord, knowing that that's the greatest thing we could ever do, is sell out and serve you with a whole heart. Lord, I pray that you move in our hearts and lives, drive these truths deep in our hearts, Lord, that we might not sin against you. Bless now on the altar call. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.